just before we go forward, let's just continue just with another word of prayer before we move the furniture, shall we? Lord, we want to give you the glory this morning. And we really want to ask, Lord, that we may just find ourselves leaning upon you. Lord, Father, we just bless you for our families and, Lord, for the gifts of our children. And, Lord, we want to ask that, Lord, those gifts would be treated rightly, Lord. But, Father, we want to ask that, Lord, you would lead us as families into all truth. Lord, would you equip us, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the giving of your word, Lord. We ask, Lord, for changed lives, Lord, among our children, Lord, and in the midst of our families. Lord, we'd ask that, Father, you would move among us, even, Lord, this morning. We'd ask that, Lord, we want to know that, Lord, we know that we need more than pretty pictures, Father, to understand your word. And we'd ask for your help, Lord, please. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we could start by reading what's on the board. It starts with a slight pause, so it goes, "And then I stuck my glasses to my face." Maybe we could try that together. "And then I stuck my glasses to my face." We're going to try that a bit later on. I'm going to move this lectern just to the left, to the right a bit. I have a glasses problem in that I need my glasses for everything. Charlotte, my wife, is able to peer out of one eye and read stuff, and I'm reading the Financial Times, for example, and I go, "Darling, have you seen this article?" And she goes, "Oh, yes." So she reads the whole thing. But I'm blind as a bat without my specs. And I was shopping with one of my daughters recently. I said, "Look, darling, there's a Starbucks over there." She said, "No, it's not. It's a Specsavers." And I was getting on the bus, and I saw there's a sign underneath the driver's, and it says, "Have you tried contact lenses?" And I thought, well, that's funny. I got a bit closer. "Have you tried contactless?" And I thought, I must get myself to the opticians, and I went to Hazelmere, and I stopped in the high street, and I said to this lady, "Do you know where Vision Express is?" And she said, "No." And we stood there for a while looking polite, and we were stood right next to it. I have a glasses problem. And I went into Vision Express, and they very kindly fitted me out with varifocals. Who wears varifocals this morning? Varifocals. Charlotte, there's loads of them. It's not... So I have a glasses problem. Clearly there are secret glasses problems. It's an epidemic, isn't it, in our nation? It's understanding I want to talk about, Sienna. It's understanding I want to talk about this morning, and I need my glasses to understand, and without my glasses, I struggle to understand things. And we live in a world, I struggle to understand things, and if I move this mic here and catch our eye better, there's a few of these, it'd be annoying to get stuck, wouldn't it? Okay. And you know, we're living in a world that's increasingly tricky to understand, aren't we? And you know, us grown-ups, we really feel for you young people, because you're going to find it increasingly difficult to understand things in the days in which we live. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about how it is. How do we find understanding? And how do we know the way through? And I wanted to ask for a volunteer to come and read something for me. Somebody a little bit older, possibly James Waldeck. James, would you come forward? Can you volunteer for me? Yeah, okay. We're going to just ask James if he could read something for me. If you come and stand in the middle here, James. Sienna, if you come and stand here, just over there, facing the screen, James. Thank you. Stand a bit further back. There we are. Okay, and face one of these screens. And Sienna, my assistant, is going to ask if you could read this verse from the Bible for us. How's it going, James? Give it a go. Okay. Now, so James, what you need is an optician's appointment. And I have many of these, and when I go to opticians, they speak very softly, don't they, in your face. And they don't eat garlic bread. That's a bonus they have. So I'm going to ask my lovely assistant here if she could just improve this with our machine. Is that any better, Mr. Waldeck? How are you getting on with that?
They are a nation
struggling a bit. Now, can you put your hand over your right eye a second for me? Could you do that for me, Mr. Warlock? Over your right eye. And it's not an oath, yeah. Is that any better? No? Okay, no, not really, is it? Okay. 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 Okay, Mr. Warlock, could you maybe try my spatula over your eye? There we are. Is that any better? Okay. Okay. Okay, let's not embarrass you, shall we? Okay. Maybe we'll try the next slide. Okay. If you just try that, could you just try that again? Could you put it over your right eye? And now over your left eye. Okay, let's try that. Try that again. Over your right eye. And over your left eye. No? The next slide then. Okay. Thanks. Can you see the bunny? Can you see the bunny? You can't see the bunny. Okay, let's try again. Next, can you see the bunny now? Okay, that's awkward. We can all see the bunny. Can you see the bunny now, Mr. Walder? Can you see the bunny? Can you see the bunny? Oh, one more. Can you see the bunny, Mr. Waldeck? Yeah. Okay, right. Thank you. We're getting there. Should we try again with that verse? No, should we try again? Here we go.
For they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding of them. Would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their...
Can you ask me that? Is it really real time?
Future. They would discern their future. Thank you, James. Thank you for being a good sport. Thank you. Let's turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy. I think it's chapter 6. I can read. 32. My varifocals were just at the wrong angle there. Struggled a bit with that. So we're talking about understanding, and I want to suggest to you that even as God's people, there are things that we struggle to understand, and there's things that we find hard to focus on. And I found this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 28. And I want to suggest to you that this may be the situation that we find ourselves in as a nation. It says, "For they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up?" You know, we are a nation without understanding and lacking in discernment about our future. But the backstory to this little passage is Moses. It was at the end of Moses' life, and he says, "Lord, I'm going to disappear." And when they don't see me anymore, they're going to turn to other gods. And this is really the situation we're in as a nation, that we, because we have turned our back on the Lord and we don't see him anymore, then we have turned to other gods. And it was a situation also where Moses was up the mountain, wasn't it? They didn't see him anymore. And they said, "Where is this Moses? How long is he going to be?" And they made themselves, didn't they, a golden calf. There's another verse in Daniel chapter 12. Let me read this to you. Daniel and chapter 12. And it's in verse 4. "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time, and many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase." Well, that's also the situation we find ourselves in. We're a nation lacking in understanding, but we have bags and bags of knowledge, don't we? In fact, there's knowledge in your phone, and you can Google absolutely anything you want, and you can receive knowledge. But I want to go up the page for you, and I want to read to you verse 3. "Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those will lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. It says those that have insight will lead many to righteousness in these days. And you see, insight and knowledge are not the same thing. You know, if you may have all the access to knowledge on your mobile phone, but it's not going to help you with having insight. You need to have, and I'm not knocking knowledge, I'm not saying having knowledge is a bad thing, but actually we all know that actually what we really want is insight. And insight comes from the Lord. And you will know that in Proverbs 9... we have a very well-known chapter 9 and verse 10. A very well-known passage. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and the years of life will be added to you." It says that as we desire more of the Lord, and we only have the Lord, as we've looked this morning, through the death of his Son, if you're right with the Lord and you draw near to him and you fear the Lord, then you will have understanding and knowledge. It comes from the Lord and it comes from a fear of the Lord. And it says in Proverbs 2, "Make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding." It depends, young people, about the way that you are leaning. If you're always leaning to your mobile phone, you will have knowledge, but you won't have insight. And there will come a time in your life when you go, you know what, I'm in such a tricky situation, I've got to have some insight. And Google just won't answer it for me. That will give you knowledge, but it's insight you need. And I want to encourage you to lean towards the Lord this morning. We were playing rugby once as a family. I emphasize it's in capitals here, once, because we haven't played it since. We didn't play it before. I thought we were having a lovely campsite. I thought, let's play rugby, boys. I should have explained to them the situation and the rules, because one of my larger boys gave me a thump on the left side of my head and cracked my glasses right in two. The rugby game didn't last long because I was blind, obviously, and couldn't keep going. At least, but I was good-humoured and gracious, obviously, about it. And I had my glasses and just broken in my hands, and therefore I lacked understanding. I did my best, and I glued them back together with sellotape. But a couple of days later, I was on the train going up to Wales, and I thought, I'll use this time to fix my glasses. And I sat in this kind of table seat, very smug with myself, thinking, look at me, Mr. Fixer, at 100 miles an hour, fixing my specs. Anyway, the problem was, I didn't have my glasses on, and I was fixing my glasses without my glasses on. You know what's coming next, don't you? And I had all this super glue, and I'm super gluing my glasses, and I put my glasses back on my face, and then I stuck my glasses to my face. In fact, I even stuck my hand to my glasses, and I was there for a minute going, this is awkward, and I managed to pull them off. But my glasses were stuck to my face. And I thought, this is awkward. My glasses are stuck to my face. Right between my eyes. You know what? You're probably thinking, that's a pretty stupid thing to do. Well, actually, the truth is, in all the whole railway carriage, suddenly I was at the advantage, wasn't I? You see, if there was a strong wind, all their glasses would blow off. But my glasses were stuck to my face. And if I was going to be on a train platform, you know when the train goes by, and all their glasses pop off, my glasses are stuck to my face. I know you thought I was being stupid, didn't you? Suddenly I'm at this amazing advantage. You know, I could go show jumping, or I could go swimming, or I could have to wear my glasses all night. You know, suddenly they wouldn't come off while I go to the loo in the night. Suddenly I have an advantage over all of you because I stuck my glasses to my face. And if my glasses are what give me understanding, then I'm never going to lose them. And suddenly I'm in the advantage. I'm not going to lose them. There's no more falling off when they stumble. There's I can't misplace them. If we turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, you're thinking, what a stupid thing to do. You know, the Bible has something to say about this. And Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. You shall teach them, read from verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Well, I wonder if that's your attitude towards the Word of God. Have you bound the Word of God, the truths of the Lord, on your hand and on your face? Yes, I did. Well, kind of, I did it in my glasses. In fact, actually, I did. There we are, thank you. And I thought I'd do this for you, and I'll go and bind my Bible to my face. There's a couple of pictures there, Sienna. But you'll notice it actually didn't work. And I found myself flat on my back. Because binding your Bible to your face doesn't work either. Well, what would the Lord say to us about our attitude towards the Word of God? It's interesting, it says, bind them as a sign to your hand. Well, I wonder, what do you do with your hands regarding the Word of God? Is it easy to find? Is it somewhere you know where you can pick it up? Have you got a hold of it? Do you read it often? But it says it is a sign on your hands. And I want to suggest to you the Word of God needs to be a sign to you on your hands, but also a sign to others. And I want to challenge you, parents, that it was my mum reading her Bible every single day that we saw her doing it that got me into my Bible. And I want to gently challenge you that if your Bible is on your phone, then your kids can't see it. It says we should have the Bible as a sign for others. And I really want to challenge you that, you know, if you want your kids to get into the Word of God, then please, would they see you reading it? But it also talks about sticking it on your face. In fact, it's what interesting, it says, right in the middle of your face. Yes, I'm one step ahead of you there. Right in the middle of your face. Right in front of your frontal lobes. The bit of your brain that decides your day by day and what you do. Can you say that about the Word of God? That it is my day by day and it is what I do. Have you superglued your Bible to your life? Will you be those that say, my Bible is so part of my life that I know where it is and the Word of God is on my hands and on my gateposts and on my doorposts and it's right between my eyes and wherever I look and I go via the Bible or I make decisions based on the Word of God. But it's that word, understand, that I want to come back to as James Ward very kindly and read for us. What does it mean to understand? What does it mean to have understanding? The word means to divide. The Lord wants us to divide or have a clear division in our life in these days. And that's what it means to have understanding. And we're living in a Babylon system at the moment. Babylon means mix it all up. It means that there be no divisions. And that's exactly why we have no understanding as a nation, because we have blurred the lines, knocked down the fences, kicked down the walls. We've said, we're going to mush it all together. And young people, I want to encourage you, you've got to have a line in your life. And you've got to have a line, you say, this is of God, and this is not of God. And you've got to have a line in your life regarding the things that you hear from your media, from the TV, or from your phone. You say, this is of God, and this is not of God. And you've got to be on the correct side of it. And you've got to be sufficiently in your word and have the, sorry, in the Lord's word, and have his word, your Bible, strapped to your hand and on your face, that you may make decisions based upon the word of God, that you may be able to divide things correctly. It's wisdom and understanding we want. And if you have wisdom and understanding, then people will come to you and they will say, what do I do about this? Where do I go with this? If you go to Google, Google is still satisfied that Solomon was one of the richest men who ever lived. And we're going to turn to, as we finish, to 1 Kings chapter 3. Because for a man who was the wisest who ever lived, it's interesting that we only have one account of his wisdom. And I want just to finish there this morning. Because it tells of two women. I'm going to try and keep this as a family service and pick my words very carefully. But it tells of two women, and they went to the king with a problem. And we read it from 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. And two women came to the king, and they stood before him. And the one woman said, oh my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. And it happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. Now you probably know the story, and I'm going to fill in the gaps for you. These were two women who men paid for kissing. And they lived this life, and their life was all about the flesh, and it was all about others telling them how great their flesh was. But they were sick of it, and they lived this life, and I think they got to a stage in their life when it says, we're sick of this, and all we want is a bit of life. And it may be that this story might resonate a little bit with you. And they said, all we want is some life. So they have these babies as their answer to having some life. And I'm sure they gave great joy. But the problem is, one night, because they had a flesh problem, the flesh rolled over and killed the life. And you know what? I recognize that in my own life, where something is going well, and then I open my big mouth and I wreck it. Or I do something and I squash it. And I go, there was something of the Lord there, and I've rolled onto it. And they have this situation, and one lady, she takes another lady's baby, because you can't pinch somebody else's life. Life has to be given to you, that you may do something with it. So they go to the king, and they go to Solomon, and they say, Solomon, all we wanted was some life. All we wanted was a bit of life in this awful situation we found ourselves in. And now we have a situation that is so complicated, even we can't fix it. And you know, young people at the back particularly, you're going to get to situations in your life as you bump amongst other people and as you move through life that are way too complicated for you to fix. And you need to go to the king, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, I've got a problem here that I can't fix. All I wanted was life. And now we've ended up with this death and this complicated situation. And I want to suggest to you what the king does. He reaches for the sword. And he was willing to divide. But you know what? We're New Testament people, so Ephesians 6 tells us that the sword is the word of God. He reaches for the word of God, and he was willing to divide. And he says, bring this situation to me, and we will divide it. And I'm willing to divide it if that fixes it. But you know what? I think I want to encourage you to reach for the word of God in your situation. But you look at me and say, but if I reach for the word of God, I'm going to lose out. It's going to get messy. It's going to be covered in blood. It's going to be awful. That's not what happened here, is it? Because the word of God is cleverer than that. And the word of God is sharper than that. In fact, it says in Hebrews, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, both joint and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Here we have these thoughts and intentions of two really tricky women. And the king says, give me the Bible and we will divide it. And it will end in life. And I want to encourage you, because I know that some of you say, if I pick up the word of God, I've got to get rid of him, I've got to do this, I've got to stop watching this. That may be the case, but it will end in life. And I want to encourage you to superglue your Bible to your life. It's interesting, isn't it? I bought a pair of trousers recently and they had a mobile phone pocket here and a mobile phone pocket here. My wife bought a rucksack recently and they had two mobile phone pockets. There's mobile phone pockets everywhere because the people who invent your mobile phones want you to super glue it to your life. And you know what? We know that actually often we'd rather just leave it at home. But your phone probably has become absolutely part of you. And I don't know where your Bible is in your life. But the Lord would just look you straight between the eyes this morning and say, is your Bible superglued to your life? Because there will come a time in your life when you're desperate for understanding and you need insights, and the Bible will not be the place you go. But I want to encourage you to get real about it. And what I've done for you, just as we finish, as you leave today, is a little leaflet called Superglue the Bible to Your Life. And I want to encourage you that if you're struggling to get a hold of the Bible in your life, then pick one up. It's just a very simple 6 little Bible challenges that just bring you to the Word of God and make you think about it and write it down. But it may be the beginning of supergluing the Bible to your life. Because don't we just need a bit of insight in these days? Kids, you are living in a time that is becoming trickier and trickier. Far worse than when Simon Wyatt was a kid. And it's only going to get harder. But you need to superglue the Word of God to your life. Amen. Dear Lord, we want to ask you that, Lord, you would do a work in our life. And if it's our lack of life, and if it's our frustration with ourself that brings us to the King, then, Lord, would you do it? But, Lord, you're only going to bring us to your Word. And we'd ask that, Lord, we would be Bible people. And we ask for mums and dads this morning that, Lord, they would create Bible homes where the Word of God is central and we stand upon it. And we want to ask for our young people as they head off to university, Lord, this end of this summer, that, Lord, that the Word of God would go with them, it would go before them, it would be strapped to their hand, that everything they do, they may divide it rightly according to the Word of God. Lord Jesus, please, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to walk according to your word in these days, and would ask that you may help us.